Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Previously on the Mike Novak Show.
Are you ready? You all set?
I am.
Joe Lill with Heather's Theme.
Heather, answer the phones.
That was awesome.
Very. That was the coolest thing that's happened to me all week.
You know, how many radio stations do you listen to and you have their themes played live, especially following a talk about birding?
Not anywhere else in the U.S.
No,
never.
Testament to live radio.
You ain't catching this on Clear Channel. Clear Channel does not do this. No. This is WCPT, locally owned, and we bring in our own trumpeter.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Esfoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Mike Sanders. Mike's, is this here?
You're there.
I'm here.
I hear you.
Hardly. Mike Sanders asking if we should close the door here.
Nah, it's the inmates have taken over the asylum today.
Can we just have all the ambiance
exactly.
of the entire world come in here? Besides, the Mighty House guys are on location again today, so they won't be running up and down the halls, although my guests might be running up and down the halls. So.
I'm okay with that.
Are you?
Yes.
Think you're ready to hand her more Twitter?
You
today?
Got it. I'm going to do my best. I'm here with the experts, as I understand.
That's, of course, my producer, Heather Fry, who is the Facebook expert. But we're, once again, making her do the Twitter thing because the two people I have in studio right now are already tweeting online. They've been doing it all morning. There's so many aspects of this story. I don't even know where to start. Let me just say very quickly, let me get out some of the stuff we're going to do on the show today. We're going to start with a brand new book called Grocery Gardening, Planting, Preparing, and Preserving Fresh Food, which you're going to like very much. I'm going to tell you right now, run out and buy it, all right? Get this book because this is the year of the homegrown vegetable, and you should have this book. And those two people who were two of the authors, there's four authors, but two of them are Jean Ann Van Crevelin, who has the longest name in horticulture, and Amanda Thompson. You're pretty close to that, yeah. Why don't you... slide that. Yeah, let's slide both these mics over. I'm sorry, Heather. We got to take you off the air. Oh, and I'll bet that's Amtrak Tim.
I know it is. I was going to say
You're going to say it's Amtrak Tim. It's got to be Amtrak Tim. I'll actually put him on for 30 seconds today. Okay?
Mike Novak.
Is it Amtrak Tim?
Yes!
Okay.
Hold on.
All right. But say hi, Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Very good.
Yes, actually, it's Jean Ann.
Okay, so Jean Ann.
I go by the first two.
But
I go by the first two names. I save the last two for emergencies. just in case.
Yes, sir. Now, how many people? I have four names, but nobody wants to hear Michael Lawrence Anthony Novak.
But
I
mean, everybody that wants to hear Jean Ann Van Crevel.
Exactly.
They just do. They do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Of course
like
it
that.
Does.
And the other woman in the studio is Amanda Thompson. You can pull that mic just a little closer, Amanda.
Testing, testing.
Perfect.
Great. You're there. Now, what you need to know about Jean Ann and Amanda is, does anybody call you Amanda? No, these days, you're just Miss, no. Or rather, Kiss My Aster.
It's Miss Aster if you're nasty.
Yeah.
Nice.
Miss Aster.
Nice.
Nice. It's a Janet Jackson reference. But a little early in the morning for that, but.
This may be the Miss Aster disaster.
Oh, that's precious. That is, that's touching right there.
And these are the poster children for the word sardonic, okay?
And already I'm excited by the titles I've been given. The longest name in horticulture and essentially the leader of sardonism.
Sardonism?
Is that a word?
I don't know. I think it has something to do with sardines.
Oh.
So the point is, not only do they write books, they write 140 characters very often, meaning they go on Twitter and they tweet to their heart's content. Now, for those of you who are not into Twitter, I'm going to take a page out of your book, Jean Ann, because you did a talk yesterday for the Garden Writers at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which we will talk about in a second. And you copped to it. You said, you know, a lot of you aren't interested, and I'm okay with that. And I'm going to say that to my listeners. A lot of you don't understand anything about Twitter, don't care to understand anything about Twitter. That's fine. You will still have fun because we're going to talk about gardening and we're going to talk about grocery gardening, the book. And you're welcome to call in with your questions. What happened to my cheat sheet with all the phone numbers? There we are. They took down the one over there across the way.
That's a long story. I'll tell you later.
I know. They cleaned up the walls here. They took all the stuff off the walls. And now I'm left to my own devices.
There
we are. Oh, you got it on the screen. How nice is that? That's why you're my producer.
I'm your producer.
All right. 773-838-9278, which I knew anyway. 773-838-WCPT. If you got questions about gardening, about growing vegetables, about choosing vegetables, about preserving them once you've picked them, about they even have recipes in here. And I'm not a cook. All right. And I cop to that, Jean Ann.
Okay. Thank you for admitting that. Confessing that at the top of the show.
Yeah, because I know you expected me to cook something here in the studio while you were.
You mean you're not?
No.
I'm
this is not the Channel
leave.
9 midday
we're
news.
We're
going
to have to leave. Oh.
No.
I got a microwave. I don't even have a hot plate.
All right. No hot plate.
Cook in the microwave.
Okay. We can try some of that popcorn.
Yeah.
I will mention again that there is a recipe for ramen noodles in that
book. All right.
Book.
We will.
We're going to get to that.
We're going to get to that,
yeah,
obviously.
We have to.
Absolutely. Later in the show, Rick DeMaio weather at 8:30. Second hour, Family Farmed Expo is in town. Everything you wanted to know about local food. See, this is the foodie edition of the Mike Novak Show this Sunday. Family Farmed is for 3 days next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Vicki Nowicki is going to be here, who's been, she's been doing this sustainably for decades. She's sort of, we talked about the poster child for sardonism. She's the poster child for effusiveness. And
wow. Effusiveness?
I don't even know
or
if that's a word.
Or offensiveness. I think no. we should be clear about
effusiveness.
That.
Effusiveness.
Okay, I just wanted to put that out there.
I thought it was the poster child for offensiveness. It was getting a little territorial.
I know.
No. And Jim Slama from Family Farm. See, this is going to be a really difficult hour.
Well, get on with it. Get on with
why?
It, will
wait,
you?
Wait. What?
Get on with it. Let's go.
Which one am I supposed to be reading?
Amanda
here?
And I have already had a whole show by now.
I'm
just saying. I'm just suggesting.
Well, I've listened to
Heather,
your podcast,
Heather,
all right?
Can you step in?
You guys digress a bit yourselves,
really?
All right? Yeah.
I flew solo 2 weeks ago, and it was a scary sight.
And Alicia Ontiveros from Eco Chicago will also be here in the second hour. She has a blog site, and she's actually interviewing Jim Slama tomorrow. I'm interviewing him today, and she's doing it online tomorrow night. And then finally, at the end of the show, remember last week we talked about the DeKalb County mega dump and whether they were going to expand their landfill. Isn't that exciting?
It's hot.
it's a hot topic.
Yeah, it is.
And Dan Kenny, they had a hearing. It was scheduled for last Monday, and they said that if all the testimony didn't get in on Monday, they would extend it to another day. Well, from what I understand, it's been going on all week out in DeKalb County. So Dan Kenny is going to be on to talk about that. Now, before we go any further, because I totally dissed him last week, we got to go to Amtrak Tim. Say hi, Amtrak Tim.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Now, you guys should know Amtrak Tim calls because he likes to talk about Amtrak.
Hi, Tim.
How's it going? I just, as a matter of fact, I'm taking a trip next week down to New Orleans. So that'll be cool.
On the city of New Orleans?
Of course.
Riding on the city of New Orleans. What's wrong?
What, I mean, not, where would it be if it's not the city of New Orleans?
Well, actually, I'm getting off in Hammond, Louisiana.
The train.
So what is that like? Is that from, what decade is that from? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't born yet. No, I'm kidding. Okay, sorry.
See, Tim.
Sorry, it's going nowhere fast.
And Jean Ann, and this is the woman who, before the show opened, was busting me about Chuck Woolery, of all people, okay? She doesn't know.
Dude, that was the 80s. Okay, yeah.
Nobody cares about the 80s, all right?
Oh, we're going to have a throwdown.
I care about the 80s.
Okay. Amanda cares.
So, Tim, you're going down. Thank you, Amanda. So, you're going down to New Orleans, on the city of New Orleans, to do what? You missed Mardi Gras, by the way. I'm sorry, what?
I have a trade show I have to do.
Oh.
For our local dealer. And instead of flying, I'm going to take the more carbon-friendly transportation mode.
Good for you. Have you ridden this train before?
Yeah, it's my second time on it. So
okay.
I know what to expect. Also, there's been a development at my household here, which I can give you some updates on. I bought a canoe.
What does that have to do with rail travel?
Absolutely nothing. But it'll be something else I can talk about, different canoeing tracks when I call in.
And all you canoe travel fans, you know, give us a call, because Amtrak Tim will answer all. That is carbon friendly, I got to admit. It really is. That's
and
awesome.
One last thing before I let you go here. We're down at the I&M Canal. I wanted to take a look down there to see how it looks in terms of canoeing. Looks excellent. But my son saw his first woolly bear.
A woolly bear.
A woolly bear is a type of caterpillar. I'm from the Cleveland originally.
Woolly
and when the woolly bears come out, they spring.
We did a whole episode on woolly bears and mouton coats. Oh, yeah.
Wow, you just hit a nerve here, Tim.
Oh, my Lord. They're lovely. They're fashion inspirations.
Is that your fashion inspiration for what you're wearing right now?
Can't you tell?
Yes, I can.
So it's brown, and it's brown, black, and fuzzy.
There's no brown, but texturally speaking, yes.
Tim, you're not going to win. All I can tell you is that you're not going to win.
It doesn't stand a chance.
I may not escape alive here today.
I'm certainly going to listen and see how it goes.
What's your best bet?
I'm hoping to get to 9 o'clock
here. Does a woolly bear become a butterfly or a moth?
Moth.
What kind of moth?
Not a good one.
It's much prettier when it crawls around on legs than it is when it flies.
I don't remember. I know we looked into it.
If you guys did a whole show on woolly bears, how do you not know?
It's on the show. We don't have to remember
it. Yeah, we don't keep
it. If we want to know, we will go back and listen again. Come on.
Come on now.
Do me a favor. Look up the woolly. Do your job.
Too much fun.
Due diligence. No, stop laughing and just... It's a good thing she doesn't have a microphone. We don't have enough mics to go around here. This is our operation.
We're going to start playing up to
her. You have just unleashed something here. I don't know.
But a maelstrom.
It sounds fun. I can't wait to listen.
Well, thank you for calling as always. And keep calling and keep me apprised of all the rail improvements in Illinois.
Absolutely. Take care.
Take care now. Bye bye. What are you?
What? What?
Am I going to have to turn off your mics?
Woolly bear.
Woolly bear. Oh, the common moth. Oh, now they're going to make me pronounce this.
I didn't say that either.
Say it.
Isabel tiger moth.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
And a larva is called the banded woolly bear. The larva of many species of Arctid moths called woolly bears because they're long, thick, fur-like setae.
Like when the lights go down in the city. You remember that song, don't you, Mike?
Yeah, actually I do. Yeah, because that was 70s. See, great decade. Terrible clothes, great decade. No, actually, I don't remember the 70s or the 80s very much.
Should we talk about gardening?
Sure. Grocery gardening is the name of the book. and that's
we
all
like
the
to
time
keep
we
it
have,
on.
Everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
We're focused. We like to focus.
Jean-Ann Van Crepe. Now, what you guys, what our audience needs to know is that you guys collaborated on this book, and you met for the very first time yesterday?
We met
Friday?
On Thursday.
Thursday.
And then Amanda poisoned me, and right. I had food poisoning all day Friday, so it was sort of like a delayed meeting.
Now, Amanda, did you do this because Jean-Ann gets the billing on the book?
Yes. I do whatever Jean-Ann tells me to.
Yeah,
I said
poison me,
so I get.
Well, I have to. You can't hold it against me that I get a little bit of comeuppance. You know,
she's kind of comeuppity.
I am.
The both of you are kind of in that ballpark. but
we're too big for our britches.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is a lovely book. Maybe you've earned it.
Thank you.
It is a great book. I mean, it covers everything from gardening 101, as you say, to disease and pest management. You do it in an organic vein, which I really appreciate. Even how to purchase quality produce. And then you go into the edibles and you go, you know, you have the various vegetables and fruits and herbs, and you talk about the various varieties and how to make a nice dish. All right, let's go into the dish that you wanted to the...
Is ramen at the Ritz. I'm not sure what page that's on, but it's how to take a package of ramen and really give it a little class. Keep it classy.
Classy. Ramen at the... Let me see here. Where is that?
First of all,
I don't even spell it.
Classy with a K,
yeah.
I think,
oh, yeah.
In
oh, totally.
This situation.
Okay, there we go.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's be clear about that.
How did you decide, first of all, what's the inspiration for the book? Because, you know, there's a lot of gardening books. There's a lot of cookbooks out there. And how is it you decided you're going to collaborate with somebody you had never met?
Well, the inspiration for the book is that there's a couple of them, but the primary one is that it's just so illogical that we don't have a book that tells you what to do with vegetables from start to finish. Like, why do we have to have 18 books about how to plant it and harvest it and cook it and store it? We have had some in the past, but nothing recently, and nothing as hip and cool as this one, of course. And then, we had met, I'm using air quotes, on different social media sites, Amanda and I had, and I knew that she was funny. And so I figured, hey, why not bring her? Yeah, exactly. Why not bring her to the table? She's great. I mean, she's smart and she has a unique voice, and all of the authors of the book do, and you can kind of get a sense of who we are a little bit in the book, which is, I don't know. It's more interesting to me than just
and even
fact.
Better. See, the coolest thing is
little cartoons of us.
You have caricatures,
yes! Dude. They're avatars.
My cartoon's too thin. She needs some fudge.
No, I like that I look thinner.
I have a giant bobblehead teetering on a toothpick.
If I knew that getting an avatar would make me look 20 pounds thinner, I would have done it years ago.
An avatar, is that the new?
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's a caricature.
Okay.
All right. I know. I'm so boring.
I'm going to start whistling the
don't
Mayberry
get,
tune.
I don't
in a
want
here.
You to get all
whatever,
trendy,
my caricature's
all
hot.
Trendy
yeah.
on me, okay?
My
illustration's hot.
It's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. And what about the other two women, Robin and Teresa?
They're not here.
Yeah.
I know.
No.
I like them. When are they showing? Are they going to come in any
no,
second?
No, yes. They'll be here momentarily.
They're parachuting in. They're going to drop right on top of the building.
It's a good thing we took down the signs on the top
yeah.
of the building, because now...
I thought there were giant X's on the
right.
like, land here.
Teleport.
Yeah.
Glow tape. Yeah, that's
they're
what we
awesome.
Have.
You know, it was a challenge for us to get a sense of how we were all going to compile this without ever meeting in person. But then once we got it all in place, it was great. It was terrific. And then we also got we don't have viewers. We like to call them viewers on our podcast, even though our podcast, Good Enough Gardening, Amanda and I, isn't actually viewable. It's listenable. Anyway, our followers sent in
I should say, by the way, that all of that information is on my website, this week's show, MikeNovak.net. You can click to their podcast, to some of their blogs. Yes, Heather?
Who's Zanboni?
Who's Zanboni?
On Twitter.
Zanboni is one of the Twitter people who writes in occasionally.
Okay, well, I, right. put,
on your Twitter that you were surrounded by crazy gardening people.
Yeah.
And that it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Zamboni wrote, tell me about it, and winked.
It's too early for that kind of stuff.
I don't know what that means.
Anyway, back to your other authors.
I don't even know what I was saying.
I know. We just said it all out the window.
Twitter. Found them. Got more people who follow us to submit recipes and photos.
So, and you use the social media to bring in the recipes. How many recipes would you say you'd gotten from Twitter or other social media?
I mean, I'd say probably a third of the recipes in the book. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. There's quite a few that came in. And photos, too. In photos. So we got a lot of photos of like, there's a great photo in one of the chapters that shows a fire escape garden in New York from one of our friends, Mike Lieberman, who's a gardener in New York. And it shows him growing this big tomato plant up his fire escape balcony. I mean, that kind of stuff, I can't get a picture of that in Portland.
No, and
there's
that's
no
right. You are
Portland.
From Portland, and Amanda, you're here, from Chicago area. You want to give a shout out to
Woot.
Your homies?
What's up, Highwood?
Woohoo, Highwood!
Wow,
baby,
they're not awake yet.
They're in a different time zone from Chicago.
No,
did you know?
No,
that?
They just party. Highwood parties pretty hard on Saturday nights.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all about the festivities.
By the way, if you just tuned in, you're clueless. Well, you will remain clueless for the rest of the...
It's not going to get any better.
No, that's it.
Train wreck.
Jean-Ann Van Crevelin and Amanda Thompson are here. They, in part, are the authors of Grocery Gardening, which the subtitle, Planting, Preparing, and Preserving Fresh Food. It is by Cool Springs Press. Now, you didn't work for Cool Springs until after you did the book. Is that correct?
That is correct.
They loved you so much.
I mean,
they said, we want you to be our social media director.
Is that surprising, though?
Yeah.
No, it's not. And so, no, really, but it was this book was sort of a way for Cool Springs Press and I to get a sense of what it would be like to even have a position within the company that was about social media and how social media and publishing would fit together. So we wrote the book first, and then, I don't know, about a month later, I started working there. Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Wow, dissed by Amanda. Unfortunately,
I think Amanda's jealous that I got the job and she did not.
I've heard this story so many times.
Hey, get used to it.
I know.
You do these book tours. They're going to ask the same dumb question. Hey, what's the name of the book? And how'd you get started? Do you like gardening?
No.
Yeah. That's why you need to take a Twitter break.
Are you doing that now?
No, I should have while she was telling the story.
Yeah, you should have been while she was telling the story. Yeah. You could have been tweeting something there. In fact, that's what Jean-Ann is doing now.
I'm doing it. I can multitask.
We met, the three of us, at the Flower and Garden Show, which opened yesterday at Navy Pier. All right, quick. You know, you guys are from out of town. You're from Portland. What now, Heather?
Heather's waving.
Okay, what am I looking at? Is Mike sweating yet?
He does look a little moist around the collar.
That's from Scott Jameson. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
You know what my favorite exhibit was?
What?
The homage to Hairspray that had the Aquanet
like the floral,
on the tables
and
that
amazing.
Had the wigs, the pink
amazing.
And green wigs.
It was made for us.
As far as I was concerned, that was about all I needed to see. Well, except the Little Shop
stuff.
Of Horrors.
Yeah.
And
that
you in front of the
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, that was... Yeah, you got to go, Heather. Heather's... Bring William, okay, to the show. The theme this year at Navy Pier is cultivating great performances. Now, some of the exhibits worked with that theme better than others.
One of them had a green-painted baby.
Yeah, that was
really
good.
Weird.
It was wicked.
Wicked, right, right.
There was some really
a lot of dead
creepy,
plants.
Weird stuff. A lot of dead trees hanging from the ceiling.
That's the trend for next year, is hang dead trees from high places in your yard for effect.
And put jewelry on.
Put jewelry. Yeah. I'm not
Which
saying I won't. I'm not saying
jewelry.
I won't. In fact, I will.
I will. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to hang it from the sky.
Well, cranes.
I can hang a dead tree from a live tree.
That's even better.
I should plant a live tree to
hang
a dead tree off.
That's very green. Of you.
And you know, Heather, I used to think that you took over my show. You're a piker. You are. Of course, they're the guests. They're allowed to do that.
Hello, come on, right? Clearly, we won't be getting a co-anchor spot.
No.
In general, because
back.
You're not connected to the Flower Show. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Definite thumbs up, and I used to hate it. How about that?
Wow.
The last time I went was a while ago, and I was like,
Not when it was at Rosemont.
No. Oh, I did go at Rosemont.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was awful.
It was awful.
It was awful.
It was awful. I wanted to take a cheese grater to my face. It was really bad.
I don't think that would have helped it.
No. But I wouldn't. If someone said you have to go back, I would have said, I would rather take a cheese grater to my face.
I'd rather poison my food poison myself.
Right.
I'd rather food poison my best friend.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
I like it. What about you? Did thumbs up, thumbs down, Jean-Ann?
I gave the front half of the show a huge thumbs up.
What do you mean the front
like
half?
Geographically, actually, it was.
Oh, as we came out of the press room.
Yeah, yeah. Towards the towards the seminar rooms gets a big two thumbs up. Towards the
marketplace,
yeah,
not so much
at all.
You know what? That's an interesting observation.
Except for the chickens. Yeah.
Nobody here but us chickens. And they've got the what is it, the $3,000 chicken coop there, or $4,000,
I loved it.
They had penguins yesterday. Did you see the penguins?
Live ones?
Live.
I saw the spray painted ones.
At the Shed Aquarium exhibit.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm walking
man.
By and I saw this huge crowd and I'm going, whoa, something's going on here, and I look, live penguins. Okay. You know, who cares about the horticulture? We got live penguins.
Apparently, there's no union for penguins, or they never would have gotten them in there.
They belong to Teamsters.
I love penguins.
They're great.
And
apparently,
penguins.
So there's lots to see. Yeah, there's, you know, like all shows, it can be uneven.
But they put all the uneven ones to one side, though, so that's nice. Go in and go to your right.
There are some really, really spectacular exhibits there.
Yeah.
Among the ones I like are the Park District exhibit is really wonderful with the glass frames all around
right.
it. Very lush. Really, really amazing.
The bonsai one was amazing.
But one of the most interesting things that happened to me, and it's bonsai, by the way.
He just called you out. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes,
no,
I did.
No, we have a bonsai guy.
Uh-huh.
Who's probably listening right now. And if I say bonsai, he'll call me and say, that's what you yell when you jump out of an airplane.
I was talking about.
Exactly.
Like,
okay.
Well,
exactly.
But the bonsai exhibit, if you walk backward, if you come out of it towards the Alice through the looking glass, there's culture shock. My heart nearly stopped. You know, because this elegance and grace of the bonsai exhibit, and then there's the rabbit hole and all the craziness
of and there's
of
like
the
a
Alice.
Creepy Alice in Wonderland paper mache doll crawling out of a crevice.
That thing scared me.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So
do you have that picture? Can you post that on Twitter right now? Everybody should be following Kiss My Aster on Twitter.
That's right. All you Twitter. We're getting lots of tweets.
And JeanAnnVK on Twitter.
Yeah. And if you got questions, we're going to talk a little more about. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to prepare you for the question.
Okay.
What surprises did you get? You know everything there is to know about vegetables, obviously. But when you put together a book of this size and it's 250-something pages long, there's always something you learn that you just thought, I never knew that before. So that will be my next question. But we need to get to weather. So hang on. You guys tweet. Tweet away to your heart's content there. Have some fun doing that. And I'm going to introduce a brand new sponsor to the Mike Novak Show, although it's a product I've been using for years. If you think that organics are the new kids on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades. And they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods, and you can get them at all kinds of great garden centers. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients and is fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Now, don't start sweating about mycorrhizae. To put it simply, they're fungi, or fungi, however you like to pronounce it, that establish symbiotic relationships with plant roots. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Your plants will shine all year round. Look for all of the new Espoma organic potting mixes at your local garden center this spring. There's the organic potting mix, the organic seed starter mix, and the organic cactus mix. And remember to pick up a new Espoma Grow-Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit www.espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1990. 29. Now, one of the places you can get that, because I saw it just the other day, and in the second hour, I'll tell you all about the great time I had at SIDS at their Garden Expo, which was Friday and Saturday. We're into the second week of March. I can't believe it's already in the second week of March. This is scary. I'm not ready for spring. The weather has got us in the mood to start digging in the dirt. SIDS Greenhouses is ready to help ease those cravings. Their shipment of spring bulbs has arrived. You can take a look at the new varieties available. Now, you're not going to get them all in the ground now. We're still, some of that ground's still frozen, but you can take a look and get some ready. And as soon as you can plant them in the ground, do it. This week you'll save a dollar on every package when you buy four or more. It's also the time to get seed started. Now that's something you can do right away for transplants. And SIDS still has a good selection of all the best varieties, including USDA organics. If you don't have a yard to plant in, or even if you do, consider an earth box, the world's most revolutionary garden system. Use it to grow all kinds of vegetables or flowers with less fertilizer, less water, and certainly less effort. Now, if you're more of a tree person, the season shipment of fruit trees is due in at SIDS this week, and you need to shop early for the best selection. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, you need to visit SIDSonline.com. Okay, what do we got here? Let's throw up some music. No, not throw up. I mean, put it up there on the screen. Dance, ladies, dance. And they are. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Oh, and the click your fingers, everybody, now.
I wish I could whistle.
I know, I do too.
We both can't whistle?
No.
All right.
Why he's the host of the host.
That's why I'm the
you
host.
You can join our club.
All right, let's just, you know, if that's the only qualification for having a radio show, well, that's really sad. Rick DeMaio is on the line. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine. I feel like, what are you, Sam Cooke? They're doing little singing by the bay there, Mike?
Now, see, you're going to say make a reference like Sam Cooke, and they're just shaking their heads here.
I don't know who Sam Cooke is.
See, Heather knows. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's just no Sam Cooke
jokes. Yeah, exactly. It's not that we don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no Sam Cooke jokes.
Yeah.
That's the problem, Rick.
well, no, the man's dead.
Wait. You got that going. He's got
his pants down.
That's funny.
That was funny.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You say so.
what am I missing here?
I don't know.
Is there a party going on there in the studio?
There's way too much going on in the studio. You guys just tweet away. Help yourself. We'll talk weather here. Yeah, you're not a tweeter or Twitter guy.
I'm not even a Facebook, MySpace, all that stuff.
You don't have a Facebook account?
No, I don't even have cable. Are you kidding me?
You don't even have basic cable, huh?
No, the only cable I have is the stuff holding up my weather pictures on the wall. That's it.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Well, but you are.
I got rid of it a few years ago because it's like, why bother? I mean, I have the internet. I don't need to watch the Weather Channel. And when I get my sports news, I'm either doing, you know, ESPN.com, Big Ten.com. Everything I need is on the computer, and away I go. And you know what? I'm not even home that much, so what the heck, right?
And yet, you know so much about so many topics.
I'm a road scholar. Put it that way.
Are you really?
Well, I meant road as an R-O-A-D.
Oh. Not Rhodes scholar, but scholar.
But I was still trying to find the joke with your throw-up music there. I know.
These things go by so fast, Rick. Yeah. You got to be ready.
And I just saw Crazy Heart Friday night, and I've seen Jeff Bridges throw up two or three times. And I predict he will not win an Oscar, put it that way.
Because he threw up too many times in the movie?
I don't know. The movie just was flat. The story was like, I've seen that story like two or three other times.
Really? All I'm hearing is great stuff. Jeanne, have you seen the movie?
No.
Yeah. Any much of a movie buff?
Let's see. Jeff Bridges. No.
Every time Starman is on, I'll stop what I'm doing and watch Starman.
Which Bridges was in The Big Lebowski?
Jeff.
Okay,
Bridges,
yeah. The Big Lebowski, love it.
Well, that was like one big acid trip, though.
Well, I don't know what to say about
Rick,
that.
Rick, you're a tough critic here, pal.
I loved him in the Bridges of Madison County. He was awesome in that.
But seriously, folks.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jeff Bridges, you got to love him in The Last Picture Show, where he was nominated. Also, believe it or not, a lot of people don't realize, but that strange movie called Thunderbolt and Lightfoot with him and... Him and Clint Eastwood, he was actually nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And,
wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even remember that.
That was a great movie. They were kind of like on the run and
wow.
trying to find a stash of cash that Clint Eastwood hid behind a chalkboard in some small schoolhouse in Montana. And it's one of those like movies. It's like a road movie, and you definitely have to
like a Road Scholar movie.
Like a Road Scholar movie.
There we go. Now, see, I tie it all together here. This is my job.
Right. Well, someone was asking me if you would have like an Oscars for the best movie about weather. What would it be? And someone was saying, "Oh, Twister, you got to go for that." And Twister was not really a movie about weather. You know, it was kind of I don't know.
It was about Oklahoma.
It was sensationalizing tornado chasing, which became, this rage back in the early 90s. And
Still is. Anybody who's got a video cam wants to go out and chase a tornado.
Well, that's the thing. And now you don't even need a video cam. You just, there's a tornado on my cell phone. Next thing you know, you have YouTube. And then you have, it's kind of putting tornado chasers to shame. So they've had to kind of up their level of how far they want to go, but I think the movie The Perfect Storm was more of a movie about fishermen and weather combined, and it was a great book as well. But
and you're a fan of nor'easters, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm still privy to them, even though I'm in the Midwest. And like you were talking about, gardening and how you're not ready for spring. How can you say that?
Because I'm doing too many other things. That being said, the weather in the last few days has just been awesome. It's just been great.
This is the most sunshine we've had around here in about 6 months, believe it or not. We had 100% sunshine yesterday, 100% sunshine on Friday, about 90% on Thursday, and about 90% on Wednesday. Obviously, the cloud cover has moved in right now, but the problem is we still have quite a bit of snow on the ground. And it's amazing. I was at it... Northern Illinois University on Friday. You go out west of Chicago, and there's pretty much no snow. From about Aurora to about, say, Rochelle, the ground is pretty much bare. That's one of the reasons why yesterday we had a high of 49 down in Cold City, which is, south of Grundy County. It was 48 in Dwight, 49 in Rensselaer. It was 48 in Romeoville, 49 in Ottawa. So where the ground is bare, Mike, the temperatures are really warming up nicely. But if you go north and west, even west of like Rockford, all the way out to Iowa, you have some places where about 8 to 16 inches of snow is still on the ground. In many
It's amazing. Yeah, you're talking about the snow, and I'm sure that a lot of people really right now want to get out in their gardens where the snow is melted, but right. All you got to do is tell them, A, you're going to compact your soil, and that's not a good thing, and B, if you're in the city like me, on the northern side of my house, well, my yard is still three-quarters full of snow right now.
Right.
And I'm amazed that it's been this warm and this sunny, and most of this hasn't melted.
There's a good reason for that, and part of that is what we call the water equivalent, Mike. And you have to look at the water equivalent of snow, because this snow is basically kind of wet, compacted snow. If it was dry snow, you'd probably be able to melt this stuff in about 2 or 3 days. But one of the links up on my page for the National Weather Service is called Modeled Snow Water Equivalent. It was last updated Friday night. It'll probably be updated again tonight. And what the Weather Service does is they take these core samples at specific sites across each state, and they feed that into what's called a hydrological update model. And then it looks at not only the type of soil you have, the amount of water that is actually, the amount of precipitation that you had over the last, say, 6 months, and also the ground temperature and the type of soil you have will dictate how much runoff you have. So this is what's called their spring flood outlook. And almost every weather service office puts this out pretty much about the first week of March. And the reason why I brought this up is when I was driving down on I-88, I couldn't believe how many farm fields were already tilled because they don't have any snow in the ground. So they can get the first 3 or 4 inches going. Obviously, they're uncompacting the soil from that standpoint. But if you go into the northern suburbs, we still have about 6 inches of kind of wet, compacted snow. There are some places up around the Waukegan area that if you took all the snow and melted it down, you have almost 3 or 4 inches of water in some areas.
But this is the way I see it. It's doing it pretty gradually because we're not getting 50s and 60s. We're getting 40s.
Exactly. Good point. Because between now and probably Saturday of the end of this week, temperatures probably in the mid to upper 40s, a little bit of cloud cover, a little bit of rain here and there. Not a big rain system coming through this afternoon, but the radar does show a band of showers. Wouldn't be surprised if have a couple of ice pellets come out of this stuff because the atmosphere has a couple layers of sub-freezing air there. But by and large, 90% of this is basically going to be wet. We'll probably squeeze out about a quarter-inch rain between about maybe 10:30 this morning and about 6 p.m. this afternoon. It's going to be about an 8 to 10-hour event. Once this goes through, I think we kind of dry out a little bit. But the concern, obviously, would be across northwest Illinois, southwest Wisconsin, parts of Iowa, where, believe it or not, northern sections of Iowa, I don't think they've had bare ground since about the second or third week of November. And there are some areas out there that have about 8 to 10 inches of water equivalent in their snow. So obviously we think about spring flooding if we get into a very, very mild pattern, as you said, very, very quickly. But that's not going to happen. So I think for anybody who's going to be doing any planting over the next couple of weeks, this is really, really good news. I think going into the growing season, like, we have great soil conditions. We never got a super hard freeze. We had 2 days where the temperature was below freezing. Much of that was actually occurring when we had snow cover. So even if you didn't get your tulip bulbs down, you know, maybe 4 or 5 inches, as I know you say they should be. If they're around 2 or 3 inches, I don't think they're going to be a problem.
Well, we'll see. You know, you never know until actually we did have that one little period where everything melted, and then we had some couple of cold days. But then it snowed again, and it covered everything back up. It's probably the case that there wasn't as much damage as there might have been otherwise. So
overall, this is good stuff. So. Cloudy day, a couple sprinkles coming in the next couple of hours. We'll probably get up to a high of about 41 or 42. Not as warm as it was yesterday with a high of 45, which went down in the books as the warmest day since Christmas. Isn't that amazing? We're 46 degrees on that.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that. And then it just keeps getting, it's gradual and staying pretty steady, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, like mid-40s probably from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all the numerical models are now showing us to get back into a very progressive pattern. They're beginning to erode some of the colder air, which you should be doing this time of the year. So if I was a betting man, and I don't like to bet too much on the weather, I would say that we may not see another snowstorm around here or any sort of freezing precipitation for the next 2 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean that we're done with the snow. I mean, I was listening to the Cardinals this morning. Mike, what's the sound that the Cardinals make? What's that nice little chirping sound they make? Could you give our listeners a little bit of a?
I don't do Cardinal calls.
Oh, come on,
do we have anybody? I know, but it's a real sort of sharp sort of cheep, cheep, cheep. Well, that's one of them.
That's Robin, silly. Is anybody in your studio?
No. They do that too. I mean, we have no anybody do Cardinal.
I only do chickens and turkeys.
Okay, the Cardinal goes like this. It goes birdie, 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 birdie.
Oh, that birdie, one, birdie. Yeah. Well, but it does. A lot of birds have more than one call too. The one I know that the Cardinals are around because I hear that sort of sharp chirp. But
I think that's more the robin. But am I allowed?
You just determined to. Okay, fine. Whatever you say, Rick.
All right. Well, the bottom line, Mike, is the weather looks very, very good for growing anything a month from now. This is excellent news. The growing season, I think, is going to get underway probably another 2 or 3 weeks when the ground temperature begins to warm up. I just checked the soil temperatures for the botanic gardens. And if you go down about 2 inches, it's about 33 degrees, and 4 inches, it's 32 degrees. So your frost is about 3 to 3.5 to 4 inches below the surface of the ground. That's on bare soil. okay?
All right.
And that, I think, gives people some sort of understanding of when you talk about compacting soil. So I wanted to talk a little bit of agriculture this morning. So the bottom line, we have about an inch of water in the snow right now where there is snow in Chicago. If you go further north, there's about 2 to 3 inches. And if you go north and west, around Freeport, there's about 3 to 3.5. In parts of Iowa and western Wisconsin, they're up to about 6 to 8. Soil temperature is about 33 or 34 degrees. Slow melt off over the next 2 weeks, and hopefully in about 2 weeks when we get all the snow off the ground, we can get some real sunshine in here and warm up the atmosphere. But bottom line, this is good news going into the growing season.
It sounds great. If you want more information, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and click on DeMaio Weather, or you can go to DeMaioWeather.com. We will talk to you next week, Rick. Thank you.
Talk to you then, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. With a weak economy, buying a home is a bigger decision than ever. And if you're just about to make that purchase, you want to know how healthy the trees are in your new yard. Just as a home might have defects invisible to the untrained eye, trees often have hidden defects that can make them hazardous or costly to maintain. If a tree is structurally unsound, you may need to remove it, which can cost as much as several $1,000s. Determining potential problems up front can help you negotiate the purchase price of your home and budget for future maintenance needs. That's why you should make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're buying a house in... I'm sorry. All
what
of a,
are you doing? Why are you
in
laughing?
The middle of a spot, I thought of Heather's reference off mic about the movie Tron. It's like, where
yeah,
did that come
good.
From?
That was good. Just... That was a reference that I actually got, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
I'm
well,
old school.
She's old school. Anyway, the Care of Trees. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're buying a house, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687. Or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
This is a thing I've never known before. It's called easy living. This is a place I've never seen before. And I'll be...
And they are rocking out here in...
Woot.
The studio. This is the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's progressive talk.
That's
AM
what
FM.
You think.
Used to be. And even the Mighty House guys were listening this morning, weren't they, Heather? And they're digging it. What?
You were tongue-tied for a minute there, and they enjoyed that, I think.
They enjoyed my being tongue-tied?
Yes.
Yeah, they enjoy my discomfort all the time. Jean-Ann Van Crevelin and Amanda Thompson are here. You might know them by their handles on Twitter. Jean Ann VK, or Kiss My Aster. And so you had plenty of time to... They were taking pictures.
I didn't think about the question at all.
I didn't either.
Good.
I was busy.
I don't even remember the question.
Did he ask a question?
No. I was hoping we could bamboozle him.
I like the word bamboozle.
I do too.
Okay.
Not as much as I like the word shuttlecock.
Because it has booze in it. I like that word too. Yeah.
You can't say that on the radio.
I just did.
What? It's
did.
A badminton term.
I can hit the dump button here.
I was going to ask about the dump button.
That's when people say bad things.
Well,
and
I know.
I
wasn't going to ask what it was. I went to Columbia.
something's happening now.
Oh, we got a call.
Studio on fire.
Dave from Madison. It saves you from the question
Dave
I was going to ask you guys. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you guys?
Fabulous. How are you guys?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah. Up here in Madison, I saw a little crocus puppet set up out of the ground.
Ooh.
Before it was run over by a truck or something. You know, the early bird gets the tire tread, I guess.
could have been a stray wheel of cheese.
That's what he gets for getting out of bed.
A stray wheel of cheese.
The reason I'm calling, I'm reminding folks, I was listening to Rick's incredibly good explanation of weather phenomena, and wanted to remind people that all the black stuff that you're seeing on the snow, when it melts, much of that goes down into our waterways. Up here in Madison, we are having a disastrous spring with post-construction runoff and inadequate enforcement. We're going to have a story done in a couple weeks here by our local paper, which I've been working on, documenting the gross negligence of municipalities and communities and businesses in maintaining their grounds so it doesn't run off into these sewers. And so I wanted to remind folks, everything you see on that snow eventually goes into the creeks and the streams, and our rivers and streams in the Chicago area are so polluted already that that's the last thing they need.
And I'll add one more thing. It's when you put fertilizer on, and it's, if you put too much nitrogen on, it doesn't go to the plants. You guys know that here. Instead, they're just tweeting, so never mind that. But a lot of that can't be captured by the plants. It goes into our lakes and streams. Here's another tip. If you know that a thunderstorm is coming or a heavy rain, don't fertilize. I mean, they say fertilize before rain, which you want to do because you want to get that fertilizer wet. But if it's going to be a heavy rain, a lot of that's just going to wash off.
Yeah, so
you got to be really smart about the way you fertilize.
That's exactly right. It's just simply a waste of your own money if you do it before the rain.
Right.
And I would point out one last thing. These farmers that are tilling already, that is just a disastrously bad practice. And like so many of the corn and bean farmers in Illinois who have really done a very poor job over the years of protecting our resources. I mean, you go to DeKalb County, every stream is channelized, and they're filled with sediment, and that sediment's contaminated. So the farmers that are out there not using conservation tillage, that are out moldboard plowing at this time of year, are doing all of us a disservice, not only to the water, but if it dries out and there's nothing to hold it in, wait till your allergies start kicking in when you have pesticide-contaminated dust permeating your air. And you're breathing that. And
well,
so,
it's interesting points, and there's a new agriculture and the old agriculture, and that's some of what we're going to talk about in the 9 o'clock hour. So I appreciate you calling. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great one. Back to Jean Ann and Amanda.
Yeah.
What about you guys? I mean, you're.
Uh-oh.
Oh, love it when the.
Fries are done.
That's why, because we get the door open.
Hello?
To the hall.
The fries are done.
Yes, right.
The fries are done.
Mm-hmm. They are.
What about us?
Yeah. What about the idea of organic farming and of course you are, and tilling and that sort of thing. Mm. Are you a no-till kind of person? Mm. Just throw compost
on
top.
We are far too lazy to till.
Mm. You know what? We were talking about this on the way over. I'm not a 100%er. Like, I refuse to completely commit to anything because as soon as I do, there's going to be a situation where it's prudent for me to do otherwise. But I also think we get so wrapped up in one certain thing being like the worst thing on earth, and we have to get rid of that thing, and then we move on to another thing that's the worst thing on earth. I'm going for moderation. I mean, not in drinking, but in other things. Moderation, mm-hmm. Yes.
Or food poisoning.
Right.
All right, I am going to ask you that question before you get out
do
of
it.
Here. What did you learn about a fruit or vegetable by doing this book that you didn't know before?
I learned that parsley is high in vitamin C.
Is it?
Yeah, it's actually beneficial for your health.
Serious. I figured it was beneficial for your
but
health.
But I mean, even in small amounts, it's good for you.
Really?
So yes, not just flavor.
Like just having an orange juice or something, or better than an orange
juice.
Yeah,
except it's green and it tastes nothing like oranges.
And your favorite recipe in the book?
My favorite recipe in the book, well, I'll tell you the favorite one that I contributed is there's a shepherd's pie recipe in there that's
Ooh.
Really yummy. I use sweet potatoes, or you can use butternut squash and carrots as topping. Yeah, I like to mix it up.
I love shepherd's pie.
It's a great, really.
I found that it's not meant for your German shepherd.
No.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Because
I have one, and I made one for him.
Yeah.
And what happened next
was bad.
Pretty.
Yeah.
It was much like Friday for me.
Yes, yes, it was
a lot
like that.
That's what I'm thinking.
That.
It was. Yeah. It was like. Yeah. It was like that.
Yeah.
The name of the book, which we almost talked about on the show, we came close.
Grocery gardening.
Planting, preparing, and preserving fresh food. It really is a lovely book. It's what does this sucker cost? It's what's the ballpark
it's
here?
$19.95.
It's worth it.
What?
I mean,
of course.
It's,
you won't have to buy any other book this entire gardening season.
And that's because it covers so many different areas of gardening. If you don't know anything about vegetable gardening, you can plant vegetables, grow them, harvest them, cook them, preserve them just by having this book.
It's a bestseller.
It actually is a bestseller already.
Really? How many copies
Amazon.
Have you sold?
It's a bestseller on Amazon. It was within 45 days of being released. We were at the top of the fruits and herbs charts.
Well,
and
see, now, because you got the mega hit from my show.
Right.
I mean,
I'm expecting
by the end of the day,
things.
Go check Amazon.com.
Yeah.
You will not believe it.
We may be able to afford White Castle for lunch.
Woo-hoo!
That is Jean Ann Van Crevelin, Amanda Thompson. They wrote the book with Robin Ripley and Teresa O'Connor. It's published by Cool Spring Press. Thank you, guys. It was fun.
Thanks for having
us.
This was great.
Can
we stay longer next time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't feel
the
like
show's
this was
only
long
2 hours.
Can we stay the whole time?
I'm coming next Sunday.
Are you really?
All right, you do that.
Okay.
All right. CNN News is next. We'll be talking more food stuff after the 9 o'clock hour. I hope you stick around. Maybe go to www.mikenovak.net. Talk to you in a few.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Here he is, Mike Novak. Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you.
This tainted love you've given, I give you all. Trouble with playing music on a radio show, even in a talk show, is you just want to listen to the music.
Yeah,
you just
it's
run
a
it
good
forever.
One. That's a guilty pleasure from way back when. I love that one.
It's Retro
Cell.
Sundays on WCPT.
Soft Cell, Tainted Love.
Hey, how are you? How you doing on a Friday? Okay.
I'm doing great on Sunday. I'm having too much fun.
It's been a lot of fun so far. And, Vicki, you might want to pull that microphone a little closer there.
Okay.
It's not as sensitive as you think.
How do you know yet?
It's true. You might be projecting.
I am very projecting. How is it?
You know, and you're going to have to go some to keep up with what went on in the first hour. I don't know if you caught some of that on the way down.
I did catch it. And what I wanted to say was we're going to go a little bit different direction.
Oh, dear.
We're going to be talking, let's get down and serious about the world and the planet.
Oh, no. We can have fun, too, can't we?
Yeah, we could have some fun.
Yeah.
With me here, we're always going to have fun.
Vicki Nowicki is a friend of mine. I've known her for a number of years.
How many? No, just kidding.
Do we want to admit that on the radio?
Yeah, you don't want me to go there, do you? No. Actually, I haven't known you that long, under 10. You are a person who walks the walk when it comes to sustainability and growing vegetables. I mean, you were ahead of the curve. You were doing this out in Downers Grove when people were coming by and going, "What's that? What's that?" I mean, come on, your yard is pretty amazing. I've been in there and seen it, and you grow
you
a little bit.
You did one of your shows in my yard.
Did I? No.
Yeah, when the garden writers were here for a conference, you brought your little microphone out, and you stuck it in the face.
Oh, that. Well, it wasn't a live show. I mean, it wasn't.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Different kind of thing. But, yeah, sure. Yeah, I interviewed people. But
speaking of how long you've known me, let's talk about Jim Slama, because I've known...
Now, let's just leave him on hold. Because, there he is. Jim Slama, are you there?
I think I'm still on hold.
No, I have known him.
All right, now you get to talk about him, because if you say something, I want him to respond, all right?
Okay, I have known him for, I want to say maybe 20 years, back when he first had some kind of expo deal in a high school. I mean, this guy has been promoting local food since forever. And now he's like got this huge expo coming up next week, and local food is where it's at today.
You know, that it absolutely true. Jim Slama, the guiding force behind Family Farmed Expo, which is the Midwest premier local food event next week at the UIC Forum on the University of Illinois at Chicago campus. It's March 11th through 13th, Thursday through Saturday, and each day is different. And, you know, I've been to several of the family. This is the fifth one, right, Jim?
It's our fifth one.
And I've been to several. They just get bigger and bigger. And this issue gets bigger and bigger. This agenda, the whole local food idea. I mean, that's why today is my foodie week. You know, talking in the first hour with Jean Ann Van Crevelin and Amanda Thompson about grocery gardening, which is a really nice book. I don't know if you've seen their book.
It's, no, I want to buy it, but they're gone now.
You know, they were signing books in the studio, in the conference room. I thought they were going to leave some for... Hey! Come back here! Hey! I guess they didn't, but I got one.
You'll be tweeted inside 5 minutes. They had those blackberries going, like, mad. And iPhones, whatever. I imagine they'll tweet you in 5 minutes.
And I'm looking at the tweet. She writes, Kiss My Aster writes, even I am surprised how much I like Mike Novak. Or Mike Now, that's my handle. Hams of a feather, she calls us. But see, Vicky, you fit right into that, too. If she would like you as well, if you guys were here
I'm
talking.
I'm a ham?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying?
You are.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've seen you perform. All right, but let's get back. Come on, you know, and you do. You have a style. Jim Slama has a style, which he brings, you know, and an energy. You both have a tremendous amount of energy that you bring to this effort. So let's get back to Jim, because I know he's thinking, why am I on the phone?
I would have had much more fun had I come into the studio.
Yes, you would have, pal. But that's okay. I want you to walk me through this event this week. I know that you start Thursday. You know, one of the great things about what's happening with local food, it's not just people in their backyards growing this. It's not even just community gardens doing this. There's real financial viability, and that's what you start with on Thursday, right?
No doubt about it. We've been doing this for 11 years now. When we launched our local food program in 1999, believe it or not. Back then, everybody thought all their food was local, and then I wanted to do a buy local campaign, and I went to Dominic's and Whole Foods and some other supermarkets to see what kind of food was local, and there was none. And I'm like, oh boy, we'd have a problem if we had a buy local campaign and there was no local food to buy. So we started thinking, wow, how do we build a food system is really what it comes down to. And so we've been working on it ever since, and you know, our expo is now really the largest local food trade and consumer show in the Midwest. And that was one of the things we discovered, was that the farmers and the artisan food producers needed to connect with buyers, whether it be consumers, trade buyers, all levels of trade buyers, ranging from restaurants and, you know, mom-and-pop supermarkets to, you know, Whole Foods or Dominic's or Sysco or Chicago Public Schools. And so now we kind of work within all those realms. And one of the other things we discovered was that a lot of these businesses, whether they be farms or food businesses, are growing really quickly, but the banking system really doesn't know how to finance them or is reluctant to finance them, especially in today's climate, because everybody's averse to risk. And they don't really understand the model of, you know, local food, and because it's different than conventional farming around here, which is, you know, primarily corn and soybeans that
are highly
subsidized.
That just opens to my mind all kinds of questions. For instance, you said that at one point you couldn't buy local at all. Nowadays, we know that there are farmers markets, and there we do advertisements for them here on WCPT, the winter's farmers markets. You can get fresh produce all winter long. This is just an amazing concept. You know, not so much for a supermarket, because we always expected them to bring it in from Chile or California or Florida. Although I'll tell you something. I saw a headline the other day. It was in the Sun-Times. It was about the tomato disaster in Florida. That a lot of the plants got frozen, and they said, "Oh, where are you going to get fresh tomatoes?" And I just started laughing, because I'm thinking, you get a tomato from Florida, that's not a fresh tomato. That's really quite a different thing. Don't you think, Jim?
No question about it. And even though this time of year, that's what you're going to get. We don't have greenhouses, growing anywhere near. I think the nearest greenhouses that are producing tomatoes are in Ontario. And quite honestly, they're very...
Wait. So you're telling me you got to go north to get a greenhouse tomato.
It's funny, but the greenhouse business in Ontario is thriving. And I think there was a strong intention by the government to support that many years ago. And now the countryside in Ontario is just dotted with greenhouses. And there's some very impressive producers. But it's also very energy intensive. So if you look at the carbon footprint of those greenhouse tomatoes from Ontario, I think they're probably much more energy intensive than, say, shipping something from Florida or even Mexico. So, I don't have as big of a problem with purchasing, say, a tomato out of season, even though I generally don't, just primarily more because of flavor. There's a few brands.
But that was my point, the flavor is not the same, but...
I like to stick around and just wait, or, one of the things we've got at the expo is a session on preserving food, which I think that, Vicki is. Aren't you moderating that one, Vicki?
I'm moderating that panel, and boy, do we have some wonderful speakers on that panel. In fact, whenever we're ready, I can talk about the Saturday session, which is open to the public. It's just going to be so fabulous.
Well, let's very quickly, Thursday, who is that open to?
Okay, so Thursday's open to the public as well. Thursday's a really interesting day. This is a nationally significant day. It's called Financing Farm to Fork. Kathleen Merrigan, the Undersecretary of the United States Department of Agriculture, is speaking on the closing plenary, along with Woody Tash, who wrote the book Slow Money, which is really the Bible of how do we finance the sustainable and local food movement with, slower money that's not expecting super high rates of returns and quick turnarounds, but more socially responsible capital that is appropriate in the way in its expectations for farms or food businesses that are growing rapidly and need capital. So that whole day is there's three tracks. There's a farming track. So how do we finance farms? There's a kind of financier and food business track, and then there's a community food track, which focuses a lot on urban agriculture and urban food businesses. And really, the lineup of speakers in all three tracks is really across the board something that I could have only dreamed about a year ago. I'm really thrilled with the level of speakers that we've got.
But while it's open to the public, you expect the business types to be there.
Well, the University of Chicago Business School is actually a partner in helping to promote it, as is the Chicagoland Entrepreneurial Center, which are two very important groups and networks here in Chicago. And so, they're helping to bring in some investors who, and at the end of the day, then we have 19 farms and food businesses who will have tables at a closing reception, and they're going to meet the money, so to speak. And, these investors and them are going to have a conversation, and we hope some of them actually get their businesses financed as a result of the relationships.
You're going to force them to eat good organic food, and then they're just going to whip out their checkbooks, and they are going to start writing checks.
Well, we also have some organic wine, and the CEO of Goose Island is speaking, so we've got some Goose Island beer. So I think that, between all those things, we hope to loosen up some purse strings and get this movement financed a little bit.
All right, well, let's jump now. I know Friday is the Chicago Food Policy Advisory Council Summit, and we'll skip that right now. And let's
it's
go
also to, a trade show.
and trade show, right? And I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back to that, but because let's get skip to Localicious on Friday night and local food festival workshops on Saturday, because I want to get Vicki involved in that, because you were talking about all the different. And by the way, all of these are listed on my website. If you go to MikeNovak.net this week, you can find links to all of it if you want to be a part of Family Farmed Expo number 5.
Yeah, number 5. And you can also go to familyfarmed.org and click on the, what was it again, Jim?
Well, yeah, you can click on the Expo page.
Right.
FamilyFarmedExpo.com goes straight to the Expo webpage.
It's all there right on the homepage there, Family Farm Expo, or familyfarm.org.
Now, we have 12 workshops in addition. Well, I'll start out with the workshops. Here's the thing. You know, local farmers and access to local farmers is here to stay, and it's a way for us to go forward with agriculture that will help us to solve a lot of problems that we've got in the country today, including our healthcare system, our economic system, and our environmental system. So we've got to really start moving towards this. And then Jim has included in that this year a little bit of an emphasis on home gardens, too, which will be part of the whole picture. It's very local, vegetables.
Well, I see. I mean,
even as local as you get.
Yeah. I mean, you got even a backyard chickens seminar
yeah.
there, which Martha Boyd is at. And I've had Martha on the show before. She's from the Angelic Organics Learning Center and, you know, talking about raising chickens. And if you go to the we talked about it earlier on the show, the Flower and Garden Show has a chicken coop. It's a very fancy chicken coop.
Very popular today.
Yes, Heather?
Do they know what came first?
Oh. See, some of the first hour of the show has infiltrated the second hour.
I couldn't help it.
I know.
I just
Well, you
I,
know, that's one of the things we're promising to inform people if they go to that workshop. They're going to know
the answer
to that.
So be there.
The answer. This is great. And there's, you know, I'm moderating a seminar on growing and using herbs and botanicals. You've got local and organic eating on a dime. Now those are my competing ones, all right? The ones that are opposite me are local and organic eating on a dime and backyard chickens. I'm doomed.
Oh, you won't be able to go to the chicken one.
you won't be able to get in.
But there's going to be one on beekeeping, and this will be even a focus on keeping bees in your own backyard. Now, you'll have to check with the village if you can keep livestock, and bees are considered another form of livestock.
Well, you know, they had that controversy in Evanston just a few years ago about whether they could have...
They're having it right now in Oak Park. They're having a big discussion about whether or not beekeeping should be made acceptable by the village, or legal, if you will.
Well, look, if we don't have bees in our environment, we lose our food crops. That's the end of food as we know it.
basically, $14 billion industry, you know, so...
But I'm very excited about especially two of the workshops. One of them is on food preservation. Now, everyone is growing vegetables now, and we have to keep moving forward. And one of the next steps in growing vegetables is learning how to preserve vegetables, because we're not just eating in the summer. We're eating every day. And so are we just going to eat good, organic, local food in the summer, or are we going to try to eat it all year? So we're going to go back to the Jewel or to pardon me, a supermarket. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on. No, you know what? I am not afraid to call a spade a spade.
No.
We know. I mean, and Jim said earlier, yeah, Jewel and Dominic, this is what
you got in the area.
It's
industrial food is what I'm saying.
Well,
are we going to go back
sure.
to that? And I'm not saying to quash industrial food. I'm saying let's edge it out.
Or bring in the stuff that is grown locally, and that gets me back to the question you started with, Jim, and that is, do those big box supermarkets now have local food of any type at all?
Well, you know, a lot of them are talking about it, and their signage is just incredible. You'd think walking into some of the super large-scale chains in Chicago that, you know, everything they have is from local farmers. But then when you dig a little deeper, you find that, you know, most of it, if not nearly all of it, is not. We're hoping to change that, and, you know, and so we work with them all. And increasingly, they're getting pressured from their customers to get local food. So, you know, I think over the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years, this is going to tip in a very big way. Part of the problem is supply. You know, we work with growers and grower groups across the Midwest, and particularly in Illinois, there's very few local fruits and vegetables. There's, you know, fruits from way down south and along the Mississippi and the Ohio River. But, you know, vegetables, there's very little local vegetable production in Illinois. There's some in the Kankakee area. But, you know, we'd like to see more. And we're working with a lot of growers to encourage more of that local production.
Well, what's becoming really popular now are these season extenders, growing with high tunnels like Elliot Coleman does. And the USDA even has a program now that they're using at the White House, and they are setting up 10 more gardens throughout the country to experiment with growing year-round fresh vegetables in the ground with no supplemental heat. And so it's a topic that the USDA has taken up, and they're trying to promote local farmers to be growing year-round. So this could be a source for fresh vegetables right out of the ground that could go to market. There's some farms right in our area that are doing this too, and you can still get fresh vegetables from some of the winter markets right around here. But what I think is important about doing these workshops at the local food festival on Saturday is what has to be kind of a an evolution of education on the side of the consumers, too, because we're saying here, well, now where can we get our fresh tomatoes in winter? Well, so maybe we have to say, well, okay, maybe we don't necessarily get to have fresh tomatoes every single day. Just because we say we want to, maybe we'll say, well, maybe we'll preserve tomatoes from our own gardens, or we'll buy extra tomatoes from the farmers in the summer and preserve them and wait till there's a better fresh source. So maybe consumers are going to be learning more about waiting or pacing themselves, and I think that
That's our society, though. We want everything right now.
Right, and I'm saying maybe we're going to help consumers learn more about pacing themselves, and that will go along with this local revolution that we're having.
That's Vicki Nowicki. She's a friend and a, I don't know, a local farmer, I guess, in a sense.
Sure.
And the
mini farmer.
Go to her. She's got a website called LibertyGardens.com.
Right.
LibertyGardens.com. You've heard of Victory Gardens. Vicki came up with the idea, well, you want to liberate yourself from the tyranny of processed food. Create a liberty
kind of,
garden.
Yeah, yeah, and you want to, you know what kind of food you want. So, you know, we all have the ability to choose that food. If we grow it ourselves, we can grow what we want, and we can grow it the way we want to grow it. So we can have the food that we want.
And Jim Slama is also with us. He's on the phone, and he is the man behind the event.
He's the man.
He is the man. Family Farmed Expo. You know, he started Conscious Choice way back when, and ran that for a while. He
15 years.
How many years?
15.
Wow, that's a long time.
And then he did Sustain.
Mm-hmm. So all this, and Family Farmed Expo is this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hang on, you guys. I got to do some business here. And when we get back, I want to talk about localicious. And then finally the Friday program, which is the Chicago Food Policy Advisory Council Summit. I mean, it sounds kind of dry. But
oh,
it's,
no.
But
no.
Also important. Yeah, I know. They, where people get together and bang heads. Right? Okay. Now, imagine 2 full days of thought-provoking conversations and topics ranging from commercial composting to green infrastructure to sustainable agriculture and more. That's what Greentown, the future of community, will be, and you can be part of it. A 2-day event sponsored by WRD Environmental is designed to help create sustainable communities. Anyone interested in seeing how communities can become greener is welcome to join the dialogue. Here, inspiring national and local leaders discuss the ways to make communities greener, healthier, and more prosperous. Greentown will take place March 17th and 18th at the College of Lake County in Grays Lake. Enjoy one or both of those days. You can learn more at greentownconference.com. www.greentownconference.com. And for innovative, sustainable landscape development, choose WRD Environmental. Love these people. They're always doing great stuff like this. This is why I just love having them on the program. They're located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology and online at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Attention teachers! Want your class to really engage in American history? OneHistory.org has presentations that make history come alive. A 10-year-old Civil War powder monkey. A Depression-era 7-year-old pushing a horse plow. A group of teenage girls facing off against Southern bigots in the Civil Rights Movement. We know how to reach your students. Whether it's for a history class or providing a context for American literature, our presentations get to the heart of history. OneHistory.org. The truth is in the details. Check out our website, www.onehistory.org. That's www.onehistory.org. Or call us at 216-956-6300. 216-956-6300.
We're into the second week of March already. Woo! The weather's got us in mood to start digging. I just got an email from a woman out in where I don't know where she is. She says, "Dear Mike, my neighbor mowed his lawn on Thursday. Is there anything we should be doing in our gardens or for our lawns right now?" And my answer is no. Stay out of there. Don't go, you know, I suppose, you know, we're getting to the point, and you can tell me this, Vicky, it's pretty close to where we could direct sow some cool seasoned vegetables.
Well,
how close?
Heard Rick. I mean, we're sowing them indoors where it's nice and warm.
We're getting close, though. We're not there yet.
A couple more weeks. All right. I mean, the ground is frozen.
I know. Okay. I know. But not in all places, see. Yeah, but you're right. Sandra, my advice is the guy who's mowing his lawn now is insane, all right? That man is a whack job, all right? So, no, just
you said it. I didn't say it.
I know. That's my show. I get to say this. Anyway, getting back to us, see, we're all champing at the bit here. Sid's Greenhouses is ready to help ease those cravings with their shipment of spring bulbs. Now, you can check them out. You can hold on to those. Don't worry. They're going to be viable for a while. And then when the ground's ready, you get them dug in. And this week, you'll save $1 on every package when you buy 4 or more. Also, time to get those seeds started, as Vicky just said, for transplants. And Sid still has a good selection of all the best varieties, including USDA Organics. If you don't have a yard to plant in, or even if you do, because I do, I use Earth Boxes, the world's most revolutionary garden system. They've got them at SIDS. You can use it to grow all sorts of vegetables or flowers with less fertilizer, less water, certainly less effort. And if you're more of a tree person, the season shipment of fruit trees is due in at SIDS this week. Take a look at those if you're interested in growing your own food. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, visit SIDSonline.com. We're going into the home stretch of the Mike Novak Show, at least the last half hour here, and I have a few more minutes with Vicki Nowicki and Jim Slama about Family Farmed Expo. One of the things Vicki reminded me off air, Jim, is that you got a new location this year. Tell me about it.
We're at the UIC Forum, which is right on the University of Illinois Chicago campus, close to downtown, but not too close to downtown. It's pretty easy to get to. It's right off of both 290, a little south of 290, and then right off of 94 at Roosevelt Road, close to public transit. There's a bus line that goes right through there. And it's a really gorgeous event space. We're thrilled to have it. It's just, we outgrew the cultural center. We were there for 3 years, and now we've moved into this. We think it's going to be our new home for a while.
Yeah, and you know, at the cultural center, you really had them sardined in there, boy.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
I mean, it was great because the energy is just, I mean, that's what you need to recreate is the same energy you had there at UIC, and I'm pretty sure you think you can do it.
Yeah, we've sold out of our booths already. Our cooking demos are off the charts. We've got Rick Bayless. We've got, Mr. Top Chef and everything else. Rick is just incredibly hot. Everything he touches just becomes phenomenal. So Rick leads off our lineup of chefs. We've got Paul Verant of V in the Western Suburbs, who's a great chef. Paul Kahn from Avec and Blackbird and Publican. Joe Goucher from the Vegetarian Chicago Diner. And then Gail Gann, the pastry chef from True. So, you know, an amazing lineup of chefs. And, that chef's lineup also relates to Friday night, where we have our big Localicious party. And that night we've got like 15 restaurants plus, you know, refreshments, all these local libations. Something I'm sure Mike won't be partaking in at all.
No. Not me. No, I have to watch myself. I'm a public figure, you know.
That's true. So, you know, if I see you imbibing too much, I'm going to cut you off, mister. But we've got Death's Door Spirits from Wisconsin, where they actually harvest the juniper berries on Washington Island and put them into their gin. Or Cobalt Distillery, which is actually a Chicago-based manufacturer of a wide variety of spirits. Mary Michelle Vineyards from Illinois, which actually has some really good wine. Adam Seeger from National 27 has his own line of spirits. Prairie Vodka actually buys Midwestern corn for their vodka. So it's going to be a really nice lineup of spirits, but also the restaurants, you know, range from Bistro Campan. Heritage Prairie Farm is going to be doing food.
And I'll be there with
dishes.
An apron on, serving for HPM Farm, yes.
Mm-hmm. Lula Cafe, Signature Room on the 95th floor, Trattoria 10 on Common Ground, Province, Osteria Via Stato, Old Town Social. So just and even Lao Se Chuan, my favorite Chinese restaurant. We've got him using local pork in one of his Chinese dishes. So I'm just totally excited about
restaurants. You are such a name dropper.
Well, you know, it's a good deal to you know, come on out and hang out with really the leaders in the local food movement, and certainly in Chicago and in some cases beyond.
I don't call it name dropping, though. I call it's kind of like the Better Homes and Gardens seal of approval. So when you drop the name, you're saying, hey, it's this guy, and it's really good.
Yeah, that's true. And very, very briefly, because I'm going to have to move on here, but on Friday, you've got the summit, which also deals with food issues, obviously, the Chicago Food Policy Advisory Council Summit with the Family Farm Trade Show. So the trade show goes on at the same time as the summit?
Right. We have an opening plenary with Tom Jennings, the head of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, Erica Allen, who's been taking a lot of leadership within the Food Policy Council, speaking.
With Growing Power.
With Growing Power. Mm-hmm. Michael Dimmick's coming in from California. Michael has been driving a lot of the food policy stuff going on in San Francisco and now L.A. and Fresno, Oakland, just doing some amazing things. And I think Chicago has a lot to learn from what Michael and the larger cities in California are doing around food policy, so he's going to speak both at the opening plenary and then also a lunch session with the Food Policy Council Summit. So, there's a lot of great stuff going on.
And of course, on Friday, you know, it's interesting because you got Thursday, which is the financial thing, and how do we make money on this. Friday, we got it's policy. It's like communities and city officials, farmers, activists, educators, they're all, like I said, banging heads together. And then you got Localicious on Friday. Let's taste all of this. Let's wine and dine them and soften them up for the knockout punch. And then you've got all the workshops on Saturday. Now, people can do all of the above or one of the above. They can go a la carte if they want to, right?
Sure. Yeah, they can have a full expo pass if they're really interested in all these things, or they can just pick and choose what they'd like.
Yeah.
Jim,
and tickets are available in advance at familyfarmedexpo.com. Something else about Friday, we've got a farm to school panel.
Yeah.
That's really exceptional. Mark Zammit, who for 10 years drove the Bon Appetit Management Company's farm-to-school initiatives way before anybody else in the country. He's giving him the keynote address, and we've got so much to learn from somebody like Mark, who started doing this farm-to-school stuff, you know, way before. And really, because they were so successful in getting new business, forced the Sodexos and, you know, some of the other larger companies, and finally, actually, Compass Group, the largest food service group in the world, bought Bon Appetit Management Company, and now Mark is their head of sustainability, and he's working on farm to school with that, or really just local food with all their divisions, and they do like 35% of the pro sports groups food service in the country. They do large colleges. They do all the museums on Capitol Hill. So, you know, it's really going to be amazing to learn from somebody like Mark. Compass also owns the Chicago Chartwell's Thompson, which does food for the Chicago Public Schools. We've been working with them for the last year. This year they're buying $1.8 million of food from local farmers, which is up from $150,000 last year. And I'll tell you, the economic development impact that those kind of purchases has, both with the farmers and the local communities, is off the charts.
You know, that is amazing, and that's something that we're going to be really highlighting here at WCPT in this coming year, is that local effort to switch, well, to get people to grow food that we can put on our own tables in Illinois. Illinois growing for itself, and you know, and the region. We don't have to exactly stay within our borders, because I know that a lot of farmers from Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana like to come to markets here. But you know, the idea that you grow regionally and then you eat that food, that food ends up on your table, and the fact that we're seeing that increase in volume, Jim, is just amazing.
It's off the chart. You know, one of the other schools that's going to be reflected on that panel is the Academy for Global Citizenship, which is actually not far from your studio there at 47th and Cicero.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Yeah, they're serving 3 organic meals a day to mostly lower-income Latino students. And, you know, they're working with the Chicago Public Schools to, you know, actually, you know, get their chefs to learn how to cook again, which is a great thing. They're buying as much local as possible, and they even have chickens. They're the head of sustainability for the school. He's moderating the backyard chicken panel because they've got chickens at the school.
Amazing. And, you know, now then the next step, of course, is going to be, now we teach the Chicago Public Schools what to do with their food waste, which is still a big issue. As I wrap up, Vicki, you got any final words that you'd like to Heather?
We did have a question for Vicki from a caller from Downers Grove. A woman named Mickey called in and was curious if coffee grounds and coffee shells spread in a garden are good, and chicken poop.
Coffee shells? You mean cocoa shells?
No, she said like coffee shells that look like the outer
shell. The husks?
The husks.
Yeah, I've seen people use that.
Sure,
they've got some
and
of those
coffee
yet.
Grounds. I mean, there is a little bit of controversy, I think...
What's the controversy?
There's a couple books out by a fella named I can't think of his name right now, but he's saying the truth about organic gardening, the truth about
organic
remedies.
I know
remedies.
Who you're talking about. He's out of
Jim somebody.
Yeah.
Jeff somebody.
Yeah, he's out of the Minnesota.
Okay, and he's saying, don't use coffee grounds, they'll steal the nitrogen and so forth.
But they're depleted, aren't they?
That's what I would think. But at any rate, coffee grounds, if you talk to Mike McGrath at YouBetYourGarden.com, he will have you use nothing but coffee grounds. And, you know, we use a lot of coffee grounds both in the compost pile, or if you have, if you're making a leaf mold, just use leaves and coffee grounds. But we just dig them in right into the tomato plants, and they're great. They're full of calcium. They do make the soil, I think, a little bit acidic, at least according to Mike McGrath, and he used to be the editor of Organic Gardening Magazine.
Jeff Gilman.
Jeff Gilman.
You know, and I want to have Jeff Gilman on the show because he's the guy.
He's a scientist.
He's a myth buster. And actually, I'm going to have another woman on the show soon who is a myth buster, Linda Chalker Scott out of Oregon.
Okay. And really, I like his books. I think, you know, there's a lot of folk tales and, you know, things about organic gardening.
But as you can see here, what happens is we always get, you know, Jim, we go from the theoretical and the meetings to the practical. Somebody calls in and says, how do I do this? And that's what it boils down to, and that's why you're such a valuable resource, Vicki, because you have been doing this, and these are,
we've had great success. And did she say eggshells?
Chicken
poop.
Chicken poop, and then a caller just asked about sawdust.
Well, sawdust, no, I wouldn't use
sawdust
that in the
is problematic.
Compost
you get,
pile.
Yeah.
It's too carboniferous. It'll just take too long to break down. But the chicken poop will act as a manure. And that, you know, as Albert Howard said, we must have livestock on our organic garden, whether it's a microbe or a worm or a chicken. We need that.
And I think that's a good way to wrap this up. Jim Slama from Family Farmed Expo, thank you so much, buddy. I will see you this weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having us on board.
Pleasure to do it. Take care.
Okay,
and
bye-bye.
Vicki Nowicki. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I had a good time.
I always love having you down here. And next time, I think maybe we won't even do policy stuff. We'll just do practical stuff. We'll just say, hey, you know, how do you grow? Because one of the great things that you've been doing that I really like with your you still run the Land Connection, right?
The Land Office.
I'm sorry, the yes. Land Office. Sorry, mm-hmm. Land Office with your husband, Ron. And one of the great things that you guys have done is incorporate vegetables into landscapes, which I think is such a great idea, because there are some people who say, I don't want to turn over my whole landscape to a vegetable garden, but you can do them both.
Right. And here's the thing. We've heard from people who have traditionally had perennial gardens tell us that once they put the vegetables in with their beautiful architectural forms, and the fact that they know that you know, they're going to be able to eat these. They say that the perennial garden was fine, it was beautiful, but now there's another layer to the beauty of it, and that is that it has meaning to them. And they're going to be able to eat out of their garden, and it changes everything.
It does. It really does. So that, and then it's an empowerment thing. So anyway, you're welcome to stick around to the end of the show, but I got to do some stuff here. And,
all right.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the expo.
Okay. You're welcome to sit. You know, you don't have to run out the door or anything, or if you want to, go ahead.
No, okay. I would like to sit here.
Okay. And I would like to introduce my listeners to a new sponsor to the Mike Novak Show. It's a product that I've been using for many years, but I'm really, really happy that they are on board with the program. And if you've ever been to one of my garden talks, and if you haven't, what the heck planet are you living on? Anyway, I tend to take issue with people trying to grow rhododendrons in and around Chicago. Okay, this is one of my deals. The problem, basically, is the soil. It's very alkaline here. Azaleas and rhodies like acid soils. But that being said, did you know that it is possible to grow beautiful azaleas and rhododendrons around here with the help of a plant food that's safe for your family, pets, and the environment? And I'm talking about Hollytone from Espoma, the original acid-loving plant food. Hollytone's blend of natural organics provides a safe, long-lasting feeding. And now, Hollytone contains biotone beneficial microbes for even better growth and color. All natural Hollytone is low in salts That's a big thing, too, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. One application of Holytone lasts for months and even improves your soil. There's no mess or bothering with mixing or hose end sprayers. Just sprinkle Holytone around your plants and watch the results. You apply it in the spring and fall. What could be easier? Holytone, the number one choice for azaleas, rhododendrons, and other acid-loving plants for over 50 years. For more information about Holytone and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit www.espoma.com. E-S-P-O-M-A. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's here. It's just off the presses, the March-April edition of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. And I know, Vicki, that you've been in the magazine from time to time. She gets mentioned. Why do you need it? Well, if you're a gardener, my question is, how can you live without it? For one thing, when you get this issue, you will also receive the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which has information about garden centers, supplies, arboreta, greenhouses and florists, and landscape design and installation services throughout the region. That alone is worth the price of admission. And in this issue, there are stories about how to deal with some of the worst garden pests organically, why you're not a rube if you grow rhubarb, and how to build, you like that, Vicki, that's good, and how to build a cold frame to extend your gardening season or get it off to an early start. By the way, for those of you who rototill your yards religiously twice a year, our own Beth Botts explains why you might be fighting nature by doing that. You might want to grab that issue. Here's what I suggest. Get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. And if you check out that Mike Geis column this month, in the very back of the magazine, you might learn something about tomatoes and sports. That's all I'm going to say. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600. Now we are in the home stretch of the Mike Novak Show. Lots going on. Before we get to Dan Kenny, a couple of things I got to remind you of. One of which is I'm going to be at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show this Monday. Well, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow. I guess I better get my talk ready. Tomorrow evening, 6:15 p.m. Now, I know gardeners like to go early to the show. They're doing a little experimenting, and I'm the guinea pig. They're trying to get people in the evening, come down to the garden show. Gardeners tend to be early people, but you know what? Some people get off work and want to come out there. Come and see me speak. What I'm doing, because the whole garden show theme is performances, I'm doing a performance of my favorite columns from Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I'm acting them out in the theatrical gardens. So it should be fun. It's not going to be real serious. I think you would enjoy it. And what I'm going to try to do is walk some people through the gardens while I'm doing this. Depends how noisy it is in there. They gave me a room to do this in, but I don't know where I'll end up doing it. But 6:15, we're going to start out in the conference room, or speaking room A at the Chicago Botanic Garden. I hope that some people join me there. Yes, Heather?
At the Chicago Botanic Garden.
Why did I say that?
The flower show. Okay, at Navy Pier.
Navy Pier. Wow, that would have been really dumb.
This is why I'm your producer.
This is why you're here. When I'm on autopilot, you got to rein me in. The Chicago Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier, 6:15, Room A, readings from the shady side of gardening. Also, March 20th, I'm going to keep reminding you of this. I'm with a film screening, A Chemical Reaction, that the Safer Pest Control Project is doing. They're bringing in Paul Tukey to talk about this. We're going to talk about organic lawn care March 20th at Columbia College, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., and the movie that extols, well, tells you about the dangers of putting lawn chemicals on, especially the weed and feed products. All right, and I'm going to do this real quick so then we can just wrap up with Dan Kenny. I need to give you a tip from the Care of Trees. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but spring is 2 weeks away. Whoa! However, because the winter has been cold and we're warming up slowly, our trees are still dormant, which means that you still have time to get some of that winter pruning done before they wake up. Because your tree is less likely to produce running sap that attracts disease-carrying insects in the winter, pruning just before spring can slow the spread of diseases such as Dutch elm disease and oak wilt, and even an infestation of emerald ash borer. Are you looking at some branches that worry you? Maybe they got beat up over the winter, or maybe you've been thinking about this for a couple of years. Hey, give the Care of Trees a call right now and finally get that work done. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, great people. Their business is people and their love for trees. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to line one. Dan Kenny is there. Dan, thank you for being patient. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back on, Mike.
Dan was on last week. As you may have heard, we had a long discussion about a proposed expansion of a landfill out in DeKalb County. And there was going to be a hearing, public hearing last Monday. They might extend it to Tuesday if they needed to. Am I hearing this right, that this has been going on all week?
That's correct. Yeah, well, it's still going on, actually. It's been carried over to next Thursday. So folks want to come out and have another chance to voice their opinion, or if they haven't had a chance yet, it'll start in again next Thursday, March 11th at 1 in the afternoon at Jenkins Auditorium at Kishwaukee College, just 6 miles west of DeKalb on Route 38.
So what are you hearing? I mean, I went to your Facebook page on this, and I have that link to MikeNovak.net, this week's show, if you want to see some of the comments. They're interesting. Among them, people talking about commissioners falling asleep at meetings, but it sounds like you've had a lot of interested citizens come out to voice their opinions. What are you hearing out there?
Yes, we've had a lot of citizens come up and speak, and we've had actually the hearing officers allowed them to ask questions of the witnesses, and they've asked some excellent questions, and I think we've gotten a lot of valuable information.
What do you, when you say ask questions of the witnesses, who are the witnesses?
The way the process works is waste management has to meet 9 criteria that's been put in place by the Illinois Environmental Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
And each criteria, they call up a witness and to talk to that criteria. For example, they had one on the stand on Friday talking about traffic. And just to give you an example, one of the people from the audience asked how much he was being compensated by waste management, and he was being paid about $300 an hour for the day and for all the time, $300 an hour period for the time he puts in preparing his report.
That came out in the hearing.
Right. And one of the other things that came out, which was kind of interesting, is he's the so-called expert on traffic management, and one of the people in the audience also, we're a rural area. It's 540 acres of farmland that they're planning to take over and turn into a landfill. And so one of the farmers stood up and said, did you take into account the farm traffic when you figured out how this additional 240 trucks a day going into the landfill will affect the flow of traffic? And he had not taken into account farm traffic. So just another example of how the so-called experts aren't always as knowledgeable as the people who are place-based and living right there in the place where the expansion is going to
take
place.
Well, this is why you have public hearings. This is why you invite the public to come in, make comments, because they live there, they know what happens every day, and sometimes some of the most obvious things are not so obvious to, as you say, the experts.
Right.
Why has this been extended to this week again? Because more people they've signed up to make comments. Is that it?
Well, as I said, the hearing officer has allowed members from the audience to ask questions. Of course, I also want to mention Mac McIntyre and Clay Campbell, who have led the questioning for us this week. I've had some health issues, as well as I'm a school teacher, so I wasn't able to attend the hearings other than Monday. But Mac McIntyre and Clay Campbell had excellent questions that they asked of each witness. Then the county board gets to ask questions of the members that are there, can ask questions, as well as an attorney who used to be a former EPA director, Mrs. Cipriano. She can ask questions on behalf of the county also, and then as well as people in the audience. So it takes a very long time to go through each witness, as well as, of course, waste management starts out with asking the witness questions, leading questions, so that they can do their presentation of the facts, of what they call the facts, for the criteria that they're speaking about.
So the upshot is that the commissioners are listening. They will make their recommendation following this. They don't actually make the decision. Do they? Who makes the decision?
Well, what it works out is that we have a committee called the Pollution Control Facility Committee for our county, and there's about four members that have been there most of the week. However, there was only two there on Friday, and they make a decision first, and they make a recommendation to our full county board. We've only had a handful of the county board members present. Most of them are going to have to rely on the transcript from the hearing and from the recommendation from the hearing committee.
Mm-hmm. Well,
then the county board votes. If the county board votes it down, then it's up to waste management to appeal that to the Illinois Pollution Control Board.
All right.
If the county board votes in favor of the expansion, then our citizens group can also appeal it to the Illinois Pollution Control Board.
And what day is there more hearing? This week?
This Thursday, March 11th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon is when it begins again.
Okay. And you can go to my website and find the link to Stop the DeKalb County Mega Dump. If you want more information, I have their Facebook link. Dan, keep me posted. We'll talk again next week, okay?
Okay. Thanks very much.
I appreciate you coming by again. That's about it. And let me say again, the Chicago Flower and Garden Show is where I will be on Monday, not the Chicago Botanic Garden. Thank you for that, Heather. 6:15, come see me read my semi-humorous columns from Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I want to thank the people at SIDS. Went there Friday for their expo. It was great. It was packed. They were out the door. I was so thrilled to have such a great crowd, and they're really nice people at SIDS, and you got to go down there and buy stuff. You know, all my advertisers, when you hear something here, go out and buy it and tell them you heard it on my show. This is the way I get to stay on the air, basically. And then I spoke last Sunday at the Pullman, Historic Pullman Club, Garden Club. They were great. And I appreciate everybody who lets me spew my nonsense. The Mighty House Home Show Tour 2010 continues today. They're at the North Shore Home Improvement and Remodeling Expo, Marriott, Lincolnshire, 10 Marriott Drive in Lincolnshire, Illinois. Go out there, harass Joe Builder especially. Be nice to Ron, but just give Joe garbage. Give him as much grief as you can give him. At the North Shore Home Improvement and Remodeling Expo at the Marriott, Lincolnshire. That's it. Mike Novak Show. Tune in next week. I hope you're with us.